I'm Kelly Romares. On April 28, 2001, during Project Censored's Press Freedom Conference at San Francisco State University, I walked into a women's restroom and found a small Korean woman urgently telling the others in line that the U.S. military was using islands in South Korea for bombing practice, just as it practices on the Puerto Rican island of Vieques, and that the U.S. military had been doing this for 50 years. We found an empty classroom for a longer talk. The woman was Wai-Young Lee, Director of International Relations for the Pan-Korean Alliance for the Reunification of Korea, USA. Lee is a nurse, a mother, a Korean War refugee, and the daughter of a disappeared political activist. She is publicizing a People's War Crimes Tribunal investigating U.S. war crimes against the Korean people. According to Lee, the United States has a lot to answer for.
I am working for Korea Truth Commission. What this Korea Truth Commission is about, to reveal about Korean War 3 years from 1950 to 1953, the Holocaust, I call it Holocaust. More than 2.5 million civilians were massacred during 3 year Korean War. That's our number, 10 years of Vietnam War. Still continuing for half century bombing at this Mae-Hyung Lee, 50 years of bombing practice at U.S. bombing range at Mae-Hyung Lee using depleted uranium. The people live, the villages are within 1 mile range.
So you're saying 1 mile range of bombing with depleted uranium?
Yes.
Let's go back and look at the war. We are finding out recently about a massacre that occurred in Korea, Nogunri. But are you saying there were other places where the United States massacred civilians in Korea?
Since the Nogunri was revealed in September of 1999, 160 locations from south and north, the villages, the people have come out saying that we had the similar story or even worse, much worse than Nogunri story.
How were these genocides carried out?
I was 7 years old in 1950 when the full-blown war broke out. I have witnessed bodies. I had to walk over bodies and bodies as a refugee. I have witnessed the American soldiers looking for women to rape, house to house, room to room, regardless of age, from children to elderly women. Any woman at sight were victims. And they murdered them. They take out their breasts, poke out their eyes, women and children. They thrown the children, crying children, into the flame after they burned the villages. They tried to save the bullet. They used one bullet to kill about 20 tied in one line with rope and shoot them with one bullet and drop them into shaft, bury them alive. These 160 locations, the people come out and telling their stories, horrible stories. 1/6 of South Korean population, 1/3 of North Korean population were murdered during this Korean War by U.S. military.
I would like to know how it is that you and your mother had the good fortune not to be raped by the American soldiers.
My father was a medical doctor, and fortunately he was able to speak English somewhat and able to communicate, and he was the only person wherever we went that the U.S. Troops can communicate, and also most U.S. troops did not have the doctor with them, so they used my father to treat the troops. And the officers usually used to hang around with my father and my place. Even then, my mother could not be visible, and she always hid it behind the ration boxes. The officers brought a lot of ration boxes to us, and we piled them up, and my mother hid it behind it. And I had to go inside that small area for my mother to comb my hair every morning, French braided. And one day, my father and one of the officer, U.S. officer, and me went for a picnic to a mountain. And while my father stepped away, this U.S. Officer asked me, where's my mom? I made a motion that my mom was bombed and killed. And he asked me, who is braiding your hair? And I made a motion that I did it myself. And he took off that braid and asked me to redo it. And I could not do it. And another instance was that while we are moving, as a refugee moving, we had to walk day after day, night after night, month after month. And during the move, my mother has to come out of a shelter. And my mother and I, we were walking alongside the rice field, picking up the edible vegetables, and this U.S. soldier approached us and harassing us, and he was frustrated that because my mother did not respond, and he went to my father and told my father that to tell that woman that I want her. And my father happened to sharpen knife at that moment and told the U.S. soldier that she is my wife. My mother and I were not raped. Still, my brother, 2 years older than me and myself, were used as a throwing ball between U.S. soldiers. They threw us as a ball to each other. They didn't care what happened if they drop us, what happened to us.
You're from South Korea, which means that during the Korean War, your country was supposed to be our allies, and yet the military was raping your people and killing?
Yes. U.S. supposed to be an ally of South Korea, defeating the communism. That was excuse at the time. But it goes back to a century ago when there was a secret agreement that the Japan will take Korea and the U.S. will take Philippines. Korea was colony of Japan for 40 years. And Korea was liberated when Japan lost the war in 1945. August 15 of 1945, there was Liberation Day for Korean people. We only enjoyed for 2 weeks of liberation, and U.S. came in. And U.S. divided the country. When U.S. Tried to divide the country and have only election on one side, on South, there was uprise against the division of the country. In Jeju Island, and one-third of population in that island were killed by U.S., by Navy, air, and ground. That was 1947. But the war was going on for 5 years, the civil war along that border. A small war broke out. So it's not just the war was, it was a civil war that tried to unite the country from north side more than south, because the south was a puppet government of U.S. at the time. The Syngman Rhee was puppet of U.S. The U.S. brought him in, I think it was MacArthur's plane, and put him in power. He was puppet.
The MacArthur brought him in. Mm-hmm.
Also, still the families are divided. From north and south, all of a sudden, U.S. Divide the country, put the line on it, and divide the country. Until now, half century later, now the families, the parents, children divided, cannot even see each other, cannot even write to each other. Who has right to impose that? And 100,000 families still cannot see, cannot write to each other.
Why did your family become refugees?
When there was a Korean War broke out, there was a bombing everywhere from U.S. military. We had to go somewhere where it's safe. And when we were refugees, a lot of people were led by U.S. military that will help you, take you to safer place. And they put them together in one area and massacred them. And I was lucky that I survived.
Were any of your family killed?
Yes, my cousin was killed while she was running into the shelter with other people by U.S. bombing.
How is it that we are only finding out about this now in the United States?
The people had a fear for half a century until Nogoni was revealed. People could not talk about it. If you talk about it, you were persecuted, as you were labeled as communist and persecuted. They kept silent in fear. For example, okay, when North Korean delegation came to South Korea a few years ago for peace talk, the children on the street said, how come they don't have horns? They were taught North Korean people are devils, they have horns. They demonized the leader and the people of North Korea. And if you talk about everything, the massacre was blamed on North Korea for communists did that. If you talk about I was victim, my family was victim, then right away you were accused as communist and they would arrest you under national security law and put you to jail, or they could execute you. So the people had this fear for half a century. Because of Nogoni revealed, now they are more courageous to come out and speak out.
Children were literally told that North Korean people had horns?
Yes. In classroom, they were taught.
As you were going to school, what were you taught about North Korea and about America?
America is a savior of the South Korean people. That's how we were taught. If there wasn't U.S., then we would have been in poverty, and we would have been killed, and the communists would have taken over the whole peninsula. The U.S. saved. The U.S. is our savior. U.S. is our ally. And the North Koreans are demons. They are the devils. They have horns, and communism has to be defeated. And what North Korea wanted is that when I visited North Korea 10 years ago, whole people in that country wanted reunification. That's all they want, reunification. Korea has over 4,000 years of history and culture. That U.S. has to respect for that. And also, the people in this country, in U.S., they have to awaken and aware what U.S., their government foreign policy is about, what they did to Korea half century ago, and still what they are doing for half century. In their name, in U.S. citizens' name, and they pay the tax, they have to know what their government is doing. They're murdering. It's a genocide. It's a Holocaust. It's comparable to the Nazis' Holocaust. 5 million people in three-year war were massacred. And that is more than 10-year Vietnam War. 3 million people were massacred during 10-year Vietnam War. During three-year Korean War, over 5 million were massacred. More than half of them, more than 2.5 million, were civilians, children, women, elderly people, helpless.
Did you have cousins in North Korea or know any people from North Korea?
I visited a cousin in North Korea.
So growing up, you knew that North Korean people didn't have horns.
I knew it because of my family background.
How did you cope growing up? You're told these lies that you know are lies, that North Korean people are devils. You are told the U.S. is a savior when you know the U.S. has murdered your family, your country, people. How do you cope with that?
In order to survive, you have to be silent. You had to be silent. You could not talk about it. And my father died in a mystery because my father was in the movement to reveal this. And my father, they said there was an accident, but I do not know the nature of it.
Who was they?
The government people, the South Korean government people, because my father was political activist. My father was a medical doctor. He helped the village people after the Korean War. So he was very popular among the people because he was the only doctor and he worked for the people, not charging them. They didn't have any money then. But he was a political activist also. So because of my background, I knew what really took place, but I could not talk about it. The best thing was to forget about it and go on with your life.
How do you forget about your father disappearing, though?
I couldn't. Because my father passed away, that I was able to come to this country. If my father was alive, we could not come to this country. My grandparents lived in this country for a long time. And after my father died, they were able to bring us here.
How old were you then?
Oh, I came when I was 22 years old.
And so what's your own history of activism? After you came to the United States, were you an activist?
No. I did not get involved until 1989 that I joined this Pan-Korean Alliance for Reunification group. During the 80s, a lot of the workers, students, they burned themselves. They committed suicide, tried to wake up people in South Korea. And as a mother having two children, that woke me up. Why these students, these young workers, why are they doing this? They are trying to tell you, wake up, do something, aware what has happened, what is going on. I started to read, I started to know, because it was not difficult for me to wake up because of I went through the war. I know what happened to my father, I know what my father did. And I had to do something, my conscience. I just could not be silent anymore. So I joined this group. And then when this Nogun story came out, and more I got involved. So I am very involved with the Korea Truth Commission now.
So what do you tell your children about that time and about their grandfather?
I told my children, but my children are born and raised in this country, and it's too much for them to comprehend. They do comprehend, but they said, what can we do about it? There's nothing we can do about it. They'd rather go on about their own life. It's just too much. Mom, you cannot change. They tell me, you cannot change. USA has power. You cannot fight against the U.S. government.
But obviously you disagree, right?
I disagree. I disagree, and I feel the people in this country, U.S., in this country have to wake up, and they have to be aware what is happening, what your government is doing. As a foreign policy, what is your government's foreign policy, what they are doing all over the world. The Korea is still exploited. There are 37,000 troops, U.S. troops in South Korea making all kinds of crimes, 100,000 crimes they committed since the war, all kinds of crimes. And the Korean government has no authority to prosecute them. U.S. protect them. So it's a heaven for the criminals in South Korea to commit crimes. The Maehyeongni, they are bombing every day for half century from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, except the mealtime Monday through Friday. It consists of three islands. One island is disappeared out of map because of the bombing. People live. within 1 mile range, and they are using depleted uranium. The U.S. government, yes, they admitted. They denied at first. They admitted, still using it.
And so we know about Vieques. That's in the news. You're saying the same thing is happening in Korea.
In Korea for half a century, every day. Still going on.
And what happens to the people there? We know that in Vieques, there's a lot of cancer. There are problems with birth defects, with the animals in nature. What is happening on that island?
All of that is happening in that island. People sued the Korean, South Korean government, and first time in history, they won. The people won. The Korean government took the blame. They did not blame U.S. The South Korean government said, yes, they will compensate. And they offered a very small amount of money to compensate, and the people rejected that, and they are taking it to Superior Court. But the South Korean government did not say that, yes, U.S. is doing it.
Are there protests on the island like they're doing in Vieques?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There are big protests. I went last August to visit the island. It's called Maehangni. The students came. They blockade the students. The police, army, they have this all this gear.
Riot gear?
Yes. And they outnumber than the protesters. The students came over the mountain because they could not go, they would not let them go through the road. So they had to go over the mountain overnight to come to this island, and they protested. There was some fight between the police and the students. I interviewed some of the village women, the elderly women, and this one woman said she came to that island after she got married when she was 19 years old, and she's like 60 some years old now, and every day since she came to that island, since she got married, that's bombing every day, and so many lives, you know, that they were casualties from the bombings, and the village people, the psychologists, a lot of people have gone, you know, mad. This, you know, the psychiatric problems. There are some psychiatric problems. The committing suicide. There are high rate of committing suicide, and the children from that area have higher incidence of violence in school. Never, you know, besides all this medical problem, the effect of the mental problem is existing among all ages, and the high rate of cancer, defect, and all of that is happening. And lately, the village people themselves organized, and they are fighting. Only this, it was known to outside of that island recently, last few years, and when students started to go there to help the village people to protest.
Are there any political prisoners in South Korea because of these protests?
Oh, yes. Many people were arrested and put in jail. That's how it became known to the people in South Korea, because they were jailed. That's the time that students started to go to help.
Has anybody been tortured for protesting?
Oh, yes. Last August when I went, the students they succeeded in going into the island where the range...
The bombing range.
Bombing range is. And also, they are practicing the shooting range.
Artillery guns?
Yes, artillery guns, shooting range. And 20-some students succeeded to go there, and they rode some on the shooting range. That was on the weekend, so there was no shooting range, no bombing going on. It was only Monday through Friday. And they were all arrested. 50-some students were arrested, and the activists... tried to negotiate to release the students, that they will stop the demonstration if you will release the students. And during that course arrest, there were many students who were hurt. I have some pictures. I have seen the students after they got hurt. They came into this inside of this headquarter. They were treating each other. One student was about to collapse. It was a female student was about to collapse, and she was injured, and she didn't have food. Most of them didn't eat and didn't even have water, and they had to walk overnight over the mountains to get in there. They were exhausted and they were hurt. They were injured. They were treating each other. And I asked one student, "You look terrible. You're going to pass out. Why don't you stay here? Don't go out to the sun and, you know, out there. Just get some rest here. Get some nap here." She said, "I cannot. My comrades, my friends are fighting out there. I cannot lay down. I cannot rest."
Tell me about the Korea Truth Commission. What is it, and what does it want to achieve?
What we want to achieve is the ultimate goal is the reunification of Korea, South and North Korea, peaceful reunification. If the U.S. will not intervene, we can achieve that easily. We want U.S. troops out of Korea. Also, we want the world to know the truth about Korean War. It's not forgotten war. It's still going on. Like Mae-hyung-ya just told you about the island bombing. It is going. It's been going on for half a century. And world do not know. Not many people know what is going on in Korea. Also, it is war crime. It was war crime. So we are having the People's Tribunal, the People's Investigation of a U.S. war crime against the Korean people.
If you could have a war crimes tribunal in The Hague, who would you want to see put on trial now as a war criminal?
U.S. military, U.S. government, it was Truman's government, and U.S. military.
Truman is dead, MacArthur is dead. What could a war crimes tribunal do now when so many of these people who did these things, maybe even the individual soldiers who did the rapes, are dead?
Still, U.S. government is responsible for the suffering of the Korean people to this date. As far as I'm concerned, the war is not over. U.S. government and U.S. military should take responsibility and should tell the world, the people, especially people in this country, the truth. U.S. people do not know what their government is doing, have done. And to prevent anything like this occur again, we cannot be silent. The truth has to be told.
The International War Crimes Tribunal, sponsored by the Korea Truth Commission, the International Action Center, and Veterans for Peace, will take place on Saturday, June 23rd, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Interchurch Center, 475 Riverside Drive in New York City. Former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark is scheduled to be one of the prosecutors. An international panel of scholars, jurists, and activists will hear the evidence. For more information, please call area code 213-353-4773. Again, that's 213-353-4773. The fax number is 213-386-7741. Again, 213-386-7741. Or visit the website at www.koreatruthcommission1word.org. That's www.koreatruthcommission1word.org. For Wings, I'm Kelly O'Ramaris in San Francisco, California.